the volume.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, Three and Out Podcast, Sunday night, rocking and rolling. Beautiful night. It's a fantastic football weekend. And I think this football weekend was dominated by college football. The overwhelming, like when the weekend just ended, Browns just lost to the Ravens in an atrocious game. To say I watched it would be a strong statement and a borderline lie. I had it on in the background. Like Lamar throwing picks. This was a college weekend. And the number one story by a country mile this weekend is Lincoln Riley. We'll dive into that. Michigan, Ohio State. I saw 15 million people watch. College football is our second biggest sport in America, and it's not even a close third. You know, the NFL's king. 38 million people watched the Cowboys play the Raiders on Thanksgiving. 38 million people. In like peak Seinfeld episodes, 35 million people were watching. Most watched game ever in the modern day, you know, metric system. That's crazy. 38 million people in a day and age, streaming, computers, options, we consume football. But by far, the number two sport in America is college. And what a weekend for college football. Saturday was a remarkable day. That's his rivalry weekend in college football. I never understand guys that are like, I'm an NFL guy. I don't watch college. Or I'm just a college guy. I don't watch the NFL. I'm just a football guy. I just had my buddy Brian text me. His good buddy, he played baseball with this guy named Aliotti at St. Mary's, which is a school in the Bay Area. Well, his uncle was the longtime defensive coordinator at the University of Oregon. Aliotti is his last name. And Nick Aliotti was the former defensive coordinator. Well, his brother, another Aliotti, is the athletic director at De La Salle. De La Salle, for the Northern California Division I Championship, plays Folsom, who's basically the Sacramento version of De La Salle. And I'm like, yeah, man, next Friday, I'm a football guy. Do I watch a lot of high school football? No. But if the game matters, am I in? I'm in. Like college football. College football was more important this week than the NFL. You know, it just was. I honestly didn't even feel the same. It was hard transitioning today from Saturday to Sunday. Now, the Niner game for me was big. It was a playoff level game. Most of these games weren't. We'll dive into some football stuff. Obviously, Belichick's kicking everyone's ass. I thought Tom Brady had a really, really, just the Bucs had a big game because the Colts were rolling. But we'll have podcasts out on Tuesday, on Friday. Subscribe, tell your friends, share with your people. Middlecoff Mailbag, we'll dive into that on Tuesday's pod. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. But the biggest story on this Sunday by far was not an NFL story. It was Lincoln Riley leaving the University of Oklahoma to come to USC and take on the Trojans. A once proud program that has fallen on hard times is now an embarrassment. And first and foremost, most things in life, it takes a lot. Obviously, 2020, like I never in a million years would have expected lockdowns and the economy to shut down. That was a first. And most people, I mean, hell, that was, I guess we haven't had a pandemic in this country in, you know, 100 years or whatever. So it's a lot of people's first. But, you know, my dad was a baby boomer. His dad had died in Vietnam. So you hear all these stories. My mom told me a couple weeks ago that her dad, he was shot down. And I knew that he was shot down in World War II. But when he was shot down, he was shot down in Japan and they landed in the jungle and like they had to hide, be quiet from the enemies. And they saw a tiger. Like the generation after generation, crazy shit happens consistently. Right. It's just tried and true. It's hard, especially in my generation with the internet. We have so much access to information, even things that we didn't experience in life. It's so easy to find out about it. If you're a curious person, watch documentaries. You can just I feel like I've taken in so much information from years that I wasn't even alive in this country. Right. You just study up on. You've watched things about it. It's hard to be stunned or shocked. And really, it's kind of sad to lose some of that. It's why I do think having children is healthy. Having that excitement in your life, right, with watching and getting excitement through other people. But I was shell-shocked today. And that is an experience, I guess, and a feeling that I don't get very often. But the news today of Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for USC was stunning, was jaw-dropping. Honestly, I mean, I'm still like, you know, 6-7 hours later, I'm still in disbelief. And I've taken a lot of time to think about this. And I think, you know, there was a stat that there's the first coach to leave Oklahoma for another college job since the 40s. Guys leave Oklahoma to go to the pros or they retire. It's that level of job. Now, there have been a lot of people on the interweb acting like he didn't want to go to the SEC. And I'm a big believer in college football, where you're from matters. I think people from the South excel in the South. Jimbo's from the South, Kirby's from the South, Nick Saban are from the South, they excel there. Now, there are outliers, right? Chip Kelly was a Northeast guy, went to Oregon and had success. Urban Meyer, Midwest guy, went to Florida, had success. But for the most part, Chris Peterson, Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, West Coast guys, excelled on the West Coast. Jim Harbaugh played at Ann Arbor, is there, right? Urban Meyer was Ohio guy at Ohio State, having success. Brian Kelly feels very Midwest. They're having success there. I do think Dabo Swinney, big, you know, Southern religious, Baptist church, all that stuff, boom, killing it at Clemson. It's Bobby Bowden, gosh darn it, crushed it at Florida State. I think that matters. And part of the reason I never thought Lincoln Riley would come out West, because I know, listen, I'm a West Coast guy. It's the ethos of who I am. I have some like Northeast tendencies of just being, you know, super kind of impatient and aggressive. But ultimately, a lot of my personality and just my mindset is developed from the side of the country I was raised upon. And it means a lot to me, even though parts of California drive me up a wall and make me question, like, and it's the reason I'm going to buy property in Arizona, you know, because it's just like the parts of California drive me nuts. But it's still my home. These are still my people. Now, not all of them are. I don't see eye to eye with the large percentage of them, especially in the Bay Area. But still, more often than not, I get along with everyone here. I relate to them very well. And when I lived in Philly, I remember thinking like, God, these aren't necessarily my people. Even though we're all Americans. We're all, you know, in theory pulling in the same direction, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I just think it matters, right? When you meet someone and you're from Pennsylvania, they go, oh, you're a PA guy? I've been around these people. I've seen the way they interact. No different. Hey, I'm from Texas. I'm from Texas too. Hey, I'm from Northern California. Me too. It just matters, right? And that's part of what's stunning to me. To me, when I think Lincoln Riley, I think the South. I think Texas and Oklahoma. And you can say Southwest, whatever. But like, I would think he would move east, not west. Now, reading stories today that he wasn't a part of moving to the SEC, maybe Oklahoma's deep down, their ethos and who they are as a program is not the SEC. And it isn't. It's going to be a massive transition for that program. And you know what? It might not work. Like, University of Texas doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. They went 5-7 in the Big 12. Do you know what Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, let alone Alabama and Georgia, would do to them? They would pummel them. They would absolutely throttle them. Oklahoma, while better, they still have some issues. And they have some personnel things that, like, maybe Lincoln doesn't think they can overcome there. And then he sees USC, which is basically a version of Oklahoma in Los Angeles. Even though, unlike a lot of these, you know, towns in the South, if I make $6-8 million in Tuscaloosa, in Oxford, Mississippi, in Athens, Georgia, in Norman, Oklahoma, I'm living like a freaking king. If I make $8 million in California, yeah, I'm rich. But the sweet house that my wife and I want doesn't cost $2 million. It costs $7 million. My taxes are outrageous, highest in the country. Literally everything I do costs a lot of money. Now, Lincoln Riley is going to be, by the time you listen to this, we may know he's on a $120 million contract. But getting coaches to come could be a challenge. That's why I thought he would never come out here. But I think when you look at the landscape, coaching in the SEC, you got Mike Leach. You got Lane Kiffin, who just won 10 games. You got Nick Saban, the greatest coach in the history of the sport, who's 70, but he looks like he's going nowhere. Kirby Smart is kicking everyone's ass. Jimbo Fisher, while he has some issues, won a national championship. It's a mother in that conference. It is on a completely different level than every conference, even beside the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is clearly the second best conference. So the talent there is extreme. And he looks at the West Coast and he goes, who's good out there? Kyle Whittingham is really good. But he coaches at Utah. He's never getting 4- and 5-star guys, really. So there's only one program that's really getting 4 and 5 star guys, and their coach isn't that dynamic. Elite recruiter. But Lincoln goes, I'm every bit as good a recruiter as Mario, but I'm a way better in-game coach. Why? I call the fucking plays. Mario's the CEO head coach, who's an offensive line guy. So I can out-coach him. Who else am I going up against? Okay, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State. Good coach, but he's at Oregon State. Hard to get players. The Washington schools, joke. Arizona schools, laughingstock. Colorado, stinks. Chip Kelly went 8-4 because of the conference he plays in, not because they're any good. Cal, in shambles. I don't know what's going on with David Shaw, but they're awful. So the conference is there for the taking. So you get $100+ million. And you know, listen, I say this all the time. Like, I think everyone, and the older I get, and I've been fortunate enough to have success doing talking now and making some cash. Like, I've not had any money. I've had some money. It, like, to me, money doesn't do anything to me. It doesn't bring you any joy. Like, I've been angry without money. I've been angry with some money. I've been happy without money, been happy with some money. Like, you want to go to places where you can have success. Because money, and ultimately, like, unless you're truly, truly just money drives you for everything, and I actually don't think it's that many people. Like, it's that high of a percentage. Because I think you become numb to it relatively quickly. If you're very ambitious in your field. And most of our fields, right, unless you're a banker or a hedge fund manager, aren't just money. Like, Lincoln's field is winning football games and trying to win national championships. So even if his direct deposit goes from $7.5 million to $12 million, but actually it'd be a little less because of California taxes, he's in the high tax bracket. The point is, like, money ain't going to inspire him, right? But I think he's going to be inspired. Like, I can win national championships because I could be the number one seed because I could kick the shit out of everyone out on the West Coast. To me, that's the only thing that makes sense. And he's already recruiting all these guys from California where he goes, it's going to be much harder to recruit as I'm going toe-to-toe with LSU once they get a real coach, Saban and Kirby, on top of just Ohio State and Michigan are coming at those guys too. Instead, I can just have California kind of to myself. I got to fend off Oregon. Here's another thing that's going on, and I don't think people quite understand this. The media, who just, they've always dropped the ball and players getting paid and how that works, they're just very naive slash, I don't even know. I just don't feel like they get it. Just because NIL is going on right now, if you don't think people are cheating, you're out of your mind. I would imagine cheating has never been worse. Because here's the thing, like, yeah, I want an NIL deal if I'm a sweet player. Okay, get me a $100,000 deal with Dr. Pepper or the local taco shop or Pepsi. I also want my $200,000 in cash that I don't have to pay any taxes for. You know what's better than $100,000 taxable? $200,000 that's not taxable. Why don't you get them both? You know, wait, you're just going to give me a car for free? I don't have to pay anything on that? I don't want that to go away. You understand when you sign these NIL deals, I have to pay taxes on that. So like when you see all these kids, and listen, I'm not opposed to getting $500,000 and paying taxes. We all pay taxes. But in the college world, like in normal people jobs, we all pay taxes on our money. College kids and their families, it's more their families and getting paid. They don't. When they get a direct deposit in that bank account, they don't like, hey, there's $250,000 in there. Make sure you save $75,000 for taxes. That ain't how it works. You just keep it all. You keep that lump sum. And that's still going on. And if you don't think it is, you're out of your mind. And guess who does that more than anyone? The South. And here's what I know, because a good buddy of mine was Lincoln Riley, basically his GM at Oklahoma. Look, hope Drew goes with him to USC, because then I'll go down and watch some practices. They don't cheat at Oklahoma. I know you think, like, oh, Middlecoff, now you're naive. I promise you. Bob Stoops was anti that crap. He's like an old school conservative when it comes to cheating. They caught Baylor one time, and Bob Stoops lost it at a Big 12 meeting. He says, if this BS doesn't stop, I'm going to turn every single person in here. And Lincoln Riley carried that over. They're not cheating. They're just such a good program. They're getting all these sweet guys. He's such a good coach. Now, the NIL thing, they can pay players like that now, but they're not handing out these wads of cash like the SEC. And I'm not anti-handing out wads of cash. I'm pro-capitalism. Like, I think the NCAA is a joke. They are not the law. So if you want to hand out wads of cash, do it. But some coaches aren't comfortable with doing that stuff. And I know specific players that are at other programs that Lincoln Riley looked at them and said, we're not doing that. And they left. And you're not able to do, you would not be able to do that going into the SEC and winning. You just won't. You probably could pull that off. I don't know, win the national championship. You got to push the envelope a little bit. But he's going to have so much access to big companies in California, he won't need to cheat. We're in these smaller schools in the South. You don't have a choice. So now he can, you know, kind of keep doing it the right way. You could tell at Oklahoma, they were always a little limited. They were always missing some guys. They weren't getting the sweetest defensive players. Guess who is? The SEC. Guess who's doing, you know what? The SEC. Why do you think? So it's just a crazy move, an enormous moment for Pac-12 football. The Pac-12 had become the JV conference. It was a joke, a laughingstock. And this gives them a chance to be relevant again nationally. It does. Mario tried and was doing a good job. Like, Oregon was relevant and was in the mix. He's fine. But he, you know, has a ceiling being a non-scheme guy. He's a recruiter. So you get Lincoln there who can do both, who can scheme and recruit, and who's got some swag, and who's got some presence, and who can win. Like, they should be competing for national championships. And what's the point of having all this money if you never spend it? As Axelrod said in Billions, why have FU money if you never say FU? What was the point? Like, I give the all those Southern schools, Ohio State and Michigan, Penn State, I give the Michigan State a lot of credit. They've accumulated a lot of cash. The cash turns into resources. Now they're using his resources, and they're using it. And finally, USC just kind of whipped it out and put it on the table. So remember us, guys? Because that's how they should act. I read an article like a month ago that the UCLA was mad. Chip Kelly wasn't worth it. They're like, we're paying him $4 million. $4 million is not a lot of money, especially when you're based in LA. Like, if you're going to fire Chip Kelly and just offer guys $4 million, you're never going to get a good coach. Start thinking in the modern day times.
This Cyber Monday, nobody has a better deal than FanDuel. New customers get $50 in free bets. All you have to do is sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook. No deposit required. That's right. Sign up from November 26th to November 29th, and you'll receive $50 in site credit free. Pick a local game to bet on, if possible, same game parlay, money line spread, touchdown score. Have fun with it. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, it's perfect. The app is easy to use, takes 15 seconds to sign up, and they're always hooking up sports fans with great offers. See for yourself why FanDuel's America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up, promo code always Colin, C-O-L-I-N, to get $50 in free bets. Promo code Colin. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
And you look at Ohio State and Michigan. Like, they pay a lot for those two coaches. And you can talk shit about Jim Harbaugh all you want, but that was a pretty big moment. And really quick on that, a little NFL draft stock stuff. Players in these big games have a lot on the line. That is how scouts and general managers evaluate you. So if I'm watching Kayvon Thibodeaux or I'm watching Hutchinson 97 from Michigan, the first three games I'm going to evaluate that guy is on the best teams that he's played in the biggest moments, right? So Thibodeaux, I'd turn on Utah, I'd turn on Ohio State, and then I'd turn on Utah again in this championship game this week. For 97, I would turn on, obviously, Ohio State. It would be the first game I'd watch. And I texted with someone yesterday in the league, and I said, could this guy be the number one overall pick? Because when I think Dan Campbell and I think the Lions, a guy in their backyard, this guy would make some sense. He said coming into the season, Kayvon Thibodeaux was easily the number one pass rusher on every team's board. And it wasn't even close. Well, the best part about, like, in any business, in any industry, the more information you have, everything's fluid. One day the stock's up, the next day the stock's down. One day a guy plays good, the other day a guy plays bad. You have to evaluate it all. Well, Hutchinson in 97 at Michigan has had an incredible season. He's dominated. And then in the biggest game with 15 million people watching, going up against two tackles, one was a fringe first-round guy, no longer, and their other tackle was like a mid-round guy. He whooped their ass and was the best player on the field. So he immediately went from, and he had been all season long, from a guy that wasn't going to be competing for the number one overall pick to playing himself into a top 10 pick to now becoming in the conversation of the number one overall pick. No different than Wilson and Olave, the two wide receivers for Ohio State. They were excellent yesterday, or Saturday. They were awesome. And you play well in big games, even if your team loses. It's a team game. Like, it was not those two guys' fault their teams lost. Both those two guys, when watching the game, you went, first rounder, first rounder. And I have a soft spot, like even Lincoln Riley. You know, I appreciate his offensive mind, but I like a little more physical football. Now, the one thing I appreciate about him that's different from Leach and Kingsbury, he loves running the ball. And he will pull guards, he will pull tackles, he will slam the ball down your throat. Lincoln Riley, to me, is the ultimate mesh of spread guy with a power run scheme. He's like the college version of Kyle Shanahan. Deep down, he would love to run for 400 yards a game. And he does when they're having success. He will shove the ball down your throat. Jim Harbaugh is a little more old school there. He ain't as much spread offense, right? He'll get in the eye. Even now, I guess they've spread it out a little bit with Gattis. But at his core, his ethos is, I want to bully you. And I say this, society in theory can soften up all you want. Tough people, in football, it's physical. In life, it's mental, will always succeed. I don't give a shit what Twitter tells you or Facebook tells you. Tough guys are always running the companies and are deciding everything in this country. I'll promise you. Being soft might be cool, like throw out some tweets, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to negotiate for yourself. If you're a football coach, you're going to have to play a good team. And Jim Harbaugh is going to run power every play. And he bullied Ohio State. And I think Ohio State was super talented. They have all this offensive firepower. But when your best players are wide receivers, your team is naturally going to be a little softer. It just is. And finally, Jim Harbaugh ran into a team. Ohio State had been physical the last several years. The Bosa brothers, they've had a bunch of defensive guys. And he out-toughed them. And he out-physicaled them. And the quickest way, they say, to knock down a bully, right, is hit him right in the mouth. And it was the first time Harbaugh could hit him in the mouth. And Ohio State stumbled a little bit, you know, if we use the fight analogy. And he just kept pummeling him. And I saw someone forwarded this to me that I guess John Madden called or texted Jim Harbaugh yesterday on Sunday and told him that that was one of the best offensive line performances he's ever seen in his life. And I could see Jim Harbaugh, who, listen, I had a front row seat. His coaching job with the 49ers was as good as I've ever seen for a guy that didn't win a Super Bowl. The physical nature of the teams, their killer instinct, their mindset. And that was the first time I've watched a Harbaugh team. And they've been like this all season. But when the game really mattered, where you went, that's the 49er Jim Harbaugh. That's the guy that when Michigan hired him, we thought was going to kick everyone's ass. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Michigan wins the national championship. I think it's going to be tough. They'll have to beat Georgia. But I think they have a legit shot. Okay, a couple quick things on the NFL. You know, Belichick, I said it last week. I'll say it again. You don't get paid for the easy times because any coach can handle winning. Joe Judge, I bet if you watch his press conference after they beat the Eagles, was smiling today and happy. Anyone can handle some wins. How do you handle adversity? How do you handle just what do we do? Like, when you don't have all the answers, like, what are we going to do now? How are we going to rebuild this thing? And in their lowest moment, they went 7-9. And then when they had to add players, they get those two tight ends. I'm watching the last couple weeks. Jonnu Smith, that guy's good. Hunter Henry makes plays. Kendrick Bourne, I saw him for years with the 49ers. That guy is one of the more underrated players in the league. And then to be patient, not make a crazy trade with the you know, any teams, and just land Mac Jones, who, listen, I've said it over and over, is doing a fine job, but he benefits a lot from the team he's playing on. J.C. Jackson might be the defensive player of the year. That guy creates turnovers every game. Today, I think he had a pick and he forced a fumble. Dude is just a star. Judon, that guy has been fantastic. There can't be more than two or three better signings this offseason. Can't be. You could argue that's the best offseason signing. He has been awesome for the Patriots. The Patriots, do you know what Bill Belichick did? He got back to who he is. Because his ethos, like I said with Lincoln Riley, Bill Belichick is most comfortable playing defense and running the ball. Now, he can modernize it to be in 2021, but that's how he's going to win. Because deep down, he knows that better than anyone. And you're watching this team right now. And that, listen, the Titans were undermanned, had a bunch of injuries, but they beat the shit out of them. They dominated that game. You went, the Patriots are real. Like, this is not fake. They are dominating these games, shoving people around. And like Harbaugh at Michigan on Saturday, and like Harbaugh when he was with the Niners, it doesn't guarantee you a national championship or a Super Bowl, but when I can physically shove you around, I have a chance to win every game. At home, on the road, in the snow, in the sleet, in a dome, it don't matter. Because nothing travels like defense in a running game. Nothing does. Especially when you have a rookie quarterback. They are very, very well situated to be a force. It's going to be, the Bills, they better get their stuff together. Because it's going to be very challenging to beat this team twice in the next, whatever, 3 weeks. It's going to be a challenge. I'll be shocked if the Patriots don't win one of the two games. And I don't think it's out of the realm possibility for Bill to win both. I think it's going to be very, very tough. Josh Allen's going to have to play well. He's going to have to play well. Just like Tampa today. They were, like, their season wasn't falling apart, but it was like, God, something's off. They were losing. I think it was 14-7. I had the game on. I was like, God, are they going to lose this game? And pretty big gutty win. Now, part of it was Leonard Fournette. I say this about all the time with Tom Brady. Like, it's a huge benefit just to have him sign off on these guys. Because remember when they signed Leonard Fournette, it was like, are they really going to do that? Who wants Leonard Fournette? Well, today he averaged 6 yards a carry. He had 3 touchdowns. He caught another 7 balls and a touchdown. He had 4 touchdowns today. And you just don't act like an idiot when you're around Tom Brady. So you can take these chances. And you know the crazy part about Tom is I just pulled up the box score. And there's an ad. You know, I'm on ESPN, and there's an ad, Hurts. It's Tom in the car. Tom is so famous. He's one of the most marketable stars in the history of the sport. Yet it feels like he's just a normal guy, right? With, you know, in the construct of his team. And it keeps them very level-headed. Because, like I said with Bill Belichick, it felt like this team was teetering a little bit. But really, when you're teetering, when you got Belichick or you got Brady in the building, you're going to be okay. It ain't going to sink like the Titanic. You might not win at all. You might lose in the playoffs. Something weird might happen. But it's going to be okay. You will be able to get through some of the rough seas. And today is a really good example. Because I just thought, like, well, they were down 24-14 at half. And Indy's got to be one of the hottest teams in the league. Jonathan Taylor had been awesome. Carson had been good. Their team had just been playing really well. And for Tampa to score 24 points in the second half, it's just an impressive moment, especially in the NFC, which the Rams are in shambles. It's basically Tampa. We'll see Arizona. They've had a bunch of injuries. Now they're coming off a bye, and Schefter tweets that Oklahoma wants Cliff. Well, I don't know about that, but San Francisco's coming. You know, the NFC's wide open, wide open. And we know how important the number one overall seed is, especially for Tampa. Because there's a big difference for Tom playing on the road, you know, in Green Bay. You'd want no part of that. You could handle playing on the road in, it's not in Scottsdale, it's in Glendale, in Arizona, because it's a dome, it's nice weather. But we saw it last year. It's snowy, it's cold, it's very difficult. If you're Tom, you either want to get the number one seed or not let Green Bay get the number one seed. You want no part of going to Green Bay again and testing your luck at Lambeau, even though Aaron Rodgers is 1-5 in NFC Championship games. So what a Sunday. A lot of college football talk. Still crazy, man. It really is. The Lincoln went to USC. As a Pac-12 homer, I've also got some sources as of Sunday night said the Fresno State coaches, it's a done deal. He's going to be the next coach at Washington. So these jobs are filling up. I guess when you're offering, you know, $8 million, $5 million, you know, people want them. Must be nice. Probably getting some good bennies with that $5 million salary. Send your kids to private school. Okay, see you guys Tuesday. Peace.